The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, it's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Governor, or doctor, should I say, because after all, you are a doctor of jurisprudence.
We're both doctors. Let's be doctors. Let's operate. Diagnose and operate.
Right. So what do you think about the Mueller report?
I think the Attorney General, Barr, was outrageous in his opening statements and spin, which is what it was, which I never saw in the job description of the U.S. Attorney General before. But he obviously read a different report, because when you read the Mueller report, it's damning to this president. And look, he was artful in the way he wrote it, but far from an exoneration. There is a case for impeachment from that report. And I think the Democrats are right to explore that avenue, because that's what's in the report. Now, I don't think, ultimately my two cents is that the Democrats should spend more time talking about what the Democrats are going to do for the people of this country and what they're going to do about health care and jobs and the environment, et cetera. But, geez, what a damning portrait of the presidency.
Well, yes, but, I hate to say this to you, Governor, because anything I don't want to appear disrespectful, because I'm not. But, Speaker Pelosi now says we have to take our time with this thing. We have to move. And I think what's really going on here, right, is that she says we can beat him this way. We'll take the House. We'll take the Senate. This is the way to do this. And if we have to, we'll enter impeachment later. But there are a lot of Democrats who just don't like this. And so it seems to me you may be, trying to appease all of the angry voters when you say something like that.
Well, I think what I haven't followed closely what Speaker Pelosi is saying. I believe what they're saying, and especially Congressman Nadler, they're going through that report. Nobody can say they're not going through it with a fine-tooth comb, and they have McGahn coming in, et cetera. So they'll go through that. But look, the ultimate goal here is to defeat Donald Trump. That's the goal, right? So keep your eye on the goal. And I've always been worried, and my point has always been, Doctor, that let the Democrats talk about what the Democrats are going to do. The best spokesperson against Donald Trump is Donald Trump. Let him just keep talking. Let him keep acting. Let him keep tweeting. The question is going to be, what's the alternative, and who is the alternative, and what can you actually do? And the Democrats have not done enough of that. So if we just spend all our time as commentators on Donald Trump, I don't think that's the way to defeat him.
Okay. Now let me change subjects. What do you think about the State Office of Court Administration last week barring ICE agents from making arrests in and around courtrooms without a judicial warrant? Does this go far enough? Would you sign the Protect Our Courts bill circulating in the Senate Assembly that exempts certain people from civil arrest while in court or heading to or returning home from a court proceeding? Or does last week's directive nullify the need for such legislation?
No, I would do. We have taken a number of steps to begin with on areas that we control, where we have jurisdiction, state buildings, et cetera. I want to do nothing to cooperate with ICE. And the less we can facilitate what they're doing, the better, as far as I'm concerned. I think they've trampled on constitutional rights. I think they've been politicized by this president. Not only do I disagree with the policy, I disagree with the means. He's doing this to feed his political base and to feed his the anger and the division that he has spread throughout the country. So you have federal supremacy clause, but anything we can do short of breaking the law, I would do.
I want to ask you about something. I've been getting quite a bit of mail about your pay raise, Governor, you know, saying, and frankly, the good news is I've written a column which basically says, hey, if the people in the legislature deserve it, you certainly deserve it more. The only thing that troubles me a little about this is the way it was done. Was it done in the middle of the night? Was it done so that everybody knew when we were giving the pay raise to the legislature that you were going to get one too? How do you answer that one?
Yeah, I absolutely said nothing about my pay raise. My pay raise was done in the same commission that did the legislative pay raises. It was the same body, the same determination. There was a different implementation means, which is the pay commission could not automatically have it go into effect the way they could do the legislature. There had to be a resolution passed by the legislature itself. But the pay commission made the same recommendation for the legislature and for my salary. It was just a different implementation vehicle.
But there is a perception that it was done sub rosa, as opposed to everybody knew it was on the table.
Well, I think everybody knew it was on the table because it was in the report issued by the pay commission. It was at the same time.
Talk to me about measles. You know, this has gotten to be quite ugly. And there are some leaders, particularly in the Jewish Orthodox community, who say, you know, we don't want to do this, and yet the public health officials and everybody else are saying we have to do this to stop this terrible outbreak of measles. Well, you know where I am, but I'm wondering where you are.
And again, just so we're clear, on my pay raise, I never said anything. The measles is
a
legal print.
Did you want to go back to the...
No, just that I had never made a comment. The measles is... a public health hazard, public health risk. I think the localities that have issued public health decrees are correct because when in this world, when you sneeze, I catch a cold.
Exactly.
I want to send my child to school. You won't vaccinate your child. Your child gets measles. Now my child gets measles. So I support the public health decrees. Legally, it is a very difficult issue because it runs right into freedom of religion. And this puts aside the anti-vaccination people. It runs into the freedom of religion with the Orthodox community. And the courts right now have actually sided against the public health decree. But I support the public health decree because it is a significant health risk, and I understand the religious freedom argument, but I think the public health decree trumps the concerns of the Orthodox community on this one, or the anti-vaxxers.
Did you ever have the measles?
I did not have the measles.
Oh, that's because you're much younger than I am. I had the measles. Not so much fun, you know, when you get them. The New York Times reports that you're at odds with the New York City Transit president, Andy Byford, with Richard Ravitch saying he's worried Byford will quit. And so why haven't you spoken with Byford in months, we are asked.
I did an op-ed today in the Washington Post.
I saw it.
When did successful journalism become the number of clicks? Had another question. Why don't we believe what we read in the newspapers anymore? It's sad to me in many ways to see what's happened to the New York Times. You know, they have to sell newspapers. I understand that. Why haven't I spoken to the New York City Transit head since January? Because I was in Albany negotiating the budget, doing the total reorganization of the MTA, and the way government works is there are authorities, and there's a chairman who runs the authority. In this case, it's Pat Foy, and I deal with the chairman. If I can't get Pat Foy, I deal with the president, who is Ronnie Hakim. But it's very rare for me to deal with a division head directly.
Just to be clear, Governor, what's Hakim?
Ronnie Hakim is the deputy to, she's the managing director at the MTA. So it goes Pat Foy as chairman, then managing director is Ronnie Hakim, and then division heads, and Andy Byford is the head of the New York City Transit Authority. Just to have fun, Dick Ravitch, you remember, was chairman of... Who was the New York City Transit head under Dick Ravitch?
I have no memory of that, but then I'm going to have no memory of anything.
Who was? Neither do I. Who was the New York City Transit head under Joe Loda?
Except, Governor, let me say that, let me just say that Byford is internationally respected and a guy who many people think has the answers to how to cure the terrible problems at the MTA. And the Times, which you have just eschewed, made it clear from their sources that you didn't like him.
No, first of all, he's a good man. He's running the New York City Transit Authority. We just announced the whole reorganization plan that the MTA has to do. In the next 6 weeks, that's going to change the whole structure. They totally ignored that. They said he might quit. He issues a statement saying, "I'm not quitting." So their story is, a few months ago he was unhappy and he told two people he might quit, but he's not quitting, and he now said today affirmatively he's not quitting. I mean, it was what is that? What is that? That's not even a tabloid story.
What do you think it is? You think they're just looking for clicks? Is that what you said?
I think they have to sell newspapers. I think that is the way of the world. I think it's symptomatic of our political system now. You have less public trust in newspapers, in politicians. And I think we have seen a degradation of the political system that is frightening. You have political candidates who compete on social media. They have to find simple, sensationalized answers to break out of the maelstrom that they're in. So everyone has a simple, provocative answer. Elect me, I'll cure cancer in 4 years. Oh, now my opponent says, well, they'll cure cancer in 3 years. Then the next opponent, I'll cure cancer in 2 years. Who gets the most hits? Then it goes to the press, who now have this sensationalized information, and they need the drama, and they need the clicks, and they need the headline, and that fuels the polarization of people and the emotion over intellect. We're discussing complex issues in one line, in one sentence. Free education, free health care. We killed a project in New York, the Amazon project. Nobody knew what the heck they were talking about. 25,000 jobs gone. Tweets, we hate Amazon. We hate rich corporations. We hate rich people. The state is giving them $3 billion. Now, no fact. And poof, 25,000 jobs gone. This is how Trump was elected. the degradation of the system. He had celebrity, so that got people's attention. He took a problem, and he read this like a roadmap. He took a problem, immigration. How did he know it was a problem? Because we were watching Brexit. And they were smart enough to see what was going on in Europe with immigration and the whole Brexit upheaval, where all the traditional politicians called it wrong. And Trump said immigration's the problem, and the answer is the wall, period, the wall. And he just kept saying it and kept tweeting it. Now, 3 years later, there is no wall. It's done absolutely nothing to solve the problem. And it was never going to do it was never going to solve the problem. It wasn't even a credible answer. It wasn't even a credible discussion. But it worked for the political system.
Okay, I want to switch now, talking about politics, Governor, to the fact that the polls are all showing that Bernie Sanders is now the leader. So my question to you is, I know that you've talked about your affection for the former Vice President, Joe Biden. Biden is supposed to be set to announce. Will you endorse him when he does?
The first if is he has to endorse. If I had a crystal ball, I would say I believe Joe Biden does run. I hope he runs. And I believe the goal is beating Donald Trump.
Okay.
And I believe people should not take that for granted.
No.
You know, the Democratic arrogance, they have such disdain for Donald Trump. Well, it can't be that we would reelect him. Don't get arrogant.
Do you think arrogance extends, Governor? I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you think that arrogance extends to the impeachment question? I'm getting a lot of mail. A lot of people are saying I'm wrong because I'm with Pelosi on this one and Nadler and the others. But people are saying they're scratching the itch. We want him impeached right now because that's what demands. I said, well, you can't do that because the Senate won't convict. And they say, we don't care. We want him impeached. Should he be impeached?
Well, look, this is the point. From the report, legally, you could make a case that he should be impeached. Your point, which is the right one, is you can't impeach him because there are no votes. So now do we spend the next 2 years fighting about impeachment? That can't happen. Or do we spend the next 2 years explaining to the people of this country why Democratic leadership would be better? And going back to your first question, I believe Joe Biden is the best candidate to beat Donald Trump, period. I don't believe that Bernie Sanders is the best candidate to beat Donald Trump.
But if Bernie Sanders gets the nomination, goes through the process, you'll be for him or you'll be quiet or what will you be?
Oh, if Bernie Sanders were to become the Democratic nominee, I would do anything I could to make sure we defeat Donald Trump. But the point we're at now is, well, who's in the best position to do that? And I think the answer is Joe Biden.
Because?
Because he has the experience, he has the personality, he has the values. I think he communicates with the people of this country. I think he can bring a sense of confidence. I think they can rely on him, and they believe they can rely on him. He knows the issues. You know, experience matters. Qualifications matter. He's done it in the Senate. He's done it as vice president. He's been all over the world. I think after Donald Trump, one of the things you realize is it's better when you know what you're talking about. You know, we're going to get in an airplane. We're going to go for a flight. It would be nice if the pilot actually flew a plane before.
Well, but you know? Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders, just for the sake of argument, he's been a congressman for quite a while, a senator. He certainly knows what the issues are, but he is a self-identified socialist, and they're already getting after, quote, socialists. You know, some of your colleagues in the Democratic Party are, and others. So what happens here?
Well, let's not be so New York and so coastal, right? I think it's very hard to get elected president as a socialist in this country. I think when you look at the states that we have to win, Yes, we're in New York. We understand socialists, and we're diverse, and we're accepting, and frankly, we're more resilient, and we get less threatened. But I think it's a much harder road to be run as a socialist, and I think it is essential that we win. If we have another 4 years of Donald Trump, you know, that is the worst-case scenario. Avoid the worst-case scenario. Nominate the best candidate. Why would you want to handicap yourself right from the get-go?
There you go. I want to change your tax returns. Remember them? You publicly released them. They show you got a tax cut under the new federal tax law. Does that undercut your stark opposition to the bill?
No, my state that I love, that I represent, that I fight for, was brutalized under the Trump tax reform. First of all, I shouldn't have gotten a tax cut, and the rich shouldn't have gotten a tax cut. Second of all, it targeted Democratic states with the reduction of deductibility. It literally was a political document that said we're going to increase the taxes on Democratic states and make them less competitive to Republican states. It was outrageous.
So you'll take the money. In other words, it doesn't matter that you made a few cents on your tax returns. Is that what you're saying? Because that is not what we're talking about here.
That's right.
All right. Now let's talk about plastic bags. You know, there are some people who are griping to me. They say, I have a regular bag and it fails and the stuff falls out of the bottom, and these people, this governor and all these people are making it so that I can't have my plastic bag. I put my garbage in my plastic bag, they're saying to me, and this doesn't seem to be right. And you know what? I think all the stuff about the whales is overdone, overblown. This is not my position. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing.
Yes, I'm hearing, look, I hear a lot of negative on everything we do.
Me too.
This is a complex world, and there's always a naysayer. And I get the inconvenience. But look at the flip side. These bags never go away. Mm-hmm. You go into urban areas, you see them hanging in the trees like bizarre Christmas ornaments. They estimate by 2050, there will be more plastic in the ocean than fish by weight. On the recyclables, China, which was the main recycling country for us, they won't even take it anymore. The average American family, uses 1,500 plastic bags a year, average use 12 minutes. Use a reusable bag. Well, I don't want to have to remember to bring the reusable bag. Look, you're leaving the house to go to the store. You have to remember to put on a shirt. You have to put on pants. You have to put on shoes. You have to bring your keys. You have to bring the list. You have to bring the phone. God forbid you forget it. Yes. And then you bring the reusable bag also. Or if you don't want to bring the reusable bag, paper bags. Paper bags are not a fate worse than death. By the way, you and I grew up with paper bags.
Indeed.
There were no plastic bags. And we carried the paper bag home. And by the way, the paper bag was then the garbage bag. If you remember my house, it was. Under this law, you can still have the hefty or whatever make you use garbage bag. But paper worked fine for generations.
Okay.
So you hold the bag from the bottom. You put your arm under the bag.
And the stuff leaks out. No, come on now. The stuff leaks out. I have a favorite restaurant. They give you stuff in a container. It comes out. It burns.
Well, that's a container issue, doctor. We need better containers. I will pass the better container law.
Gotcha. Okay. President Trump is planning to take away the state's power to be involved in the construction of oil and gas pipelines, telling a crowd in Texas that, quote, New York is hurting the country because they are not allowing us to get these pipelines through. What are you going to do about that?
I will fight him every step of the way.
How do you do it?
Look, President Trump, his position is clear. Fossil fuels are great. Oil exploration is great. He wants to do offshore drilling off the coast of New York,
Fly
off Long Island.
Yeah,
that this is his story. I banned fracking. He thinks fracking is great. And now he has this geographic mass in the middle of his map called the state of New York. And we're a burden for him because we don't want pipelines crisscrossing our state. Because, by the way, if a pipeline cracks in our state, it's our state that gets hurt. And he wants to use basically federal supremacy. He thinks he can do it by an executive order to allow pipelines across our state. We disagree legally, and we will sue him.
Earth Day, what do you want to do in this legislative session to join the fight against global warming?
I'm going to, first of all, pass that container law that we just talked about, which will help support the plastic bag ban because it will help fortify paper bags. Because that's really your issue, leaky containers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a joke. That's a joke.
I hear your joke.
We don't. Joke alert. Joke alert.
Yeah, because some people don't get that. Go ahead.
We don't have. We don't. Yeah, that's right. Then I'll have to pass a container law because I told a bad joke. We have the most aggressive environmental agenda right now in the state of New York. We did the plastic bag ban, as you mentioned. We're about to announce the $1.5 billion in renewable projects. The largest wind turbine, offshore wind turbine project in the country. We have the most aggressive goal to stop using fossil fuels, carbon footprint for electricity production in 2040. So we have the most aggressive agenda in the country. I'm proud of it. I don't see, we did most of it in the budget, so I don't see anything specific for the rest of the session. Marijuana is going to be a big issue. Rent regulations will be a big issue. Prevailing wage is a big issue. And I think that will consume most of the session.
And we are now consumed. You see, because the time is up. Great talking to you, and thanks for coming back, Governor.
Thank you, Alan. Thanks.
Yeah, bye.